Please, Mr. Reck, please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now is the opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Are there any? No? any others? Okay. Now we have public comments. Anyone in the public wishing to address the board? No cards? Okay, I am moving fast. Did I miss something? Superintendent's report. Dr. Todd. Oh, excuse me. I did. I thought I missed something. Mr. Boom, comments on the board? Mr. Miller?
Just a question. You received a notice from, communicate, let's put it that way, from the attorney on the 12th of last month.
Uh-huh.
Hasn't that been brought forward to the board?
You received communication. We have our attorney here. Paul, would you come up to the podium? And
what was it that you received?
We received a communique from you, your office, regarding some information. And I was wondering why it was emailed 6/12/14, and why it hasn't come before the board.
I would have to see it to know what you're talking about.
We received it here.
That was from Lisa.
Yeah, but it was from your office, I do believe.
Oh, yeah, we sent a news flash about AB
1344.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Could you speak in the mic, please? Go ahead.
As a board, we haven't received that information, and I was wondering why.
News flashes typically just go to district staff. They're a service that our firm provides for free, and that was one of them. Happy to send copies to all board members. But not quite sure what the question is.
But the question is, it was sent to Mr. Crawford and Dr. Todd, and it wasn't given to the board. And I was wondering why.
Oh, what do you have there?
I'm sorry?
What do you have there? Well, no, you've already showed it to him. What,
no.
I'm not with you. Is it receiving documents from the attorney's office that
yes.
you don't want
yes.
on the mailing list?
It should have been brought before the board.
What should be brought for the board? What, do you want to please address? Here you go, Phil.
I'm not sure what I'm being asked.
I'm not sure either. That's why.
Well,
maybe you want to direct your question a little more eloquently to.
Well,
once,
I don't
to
know how
your,
much more eloquent
to our attorney.
I can give.
Well, to your attorney.
Because no, this is to you and Dr. Todd. Actually, this concerns a situation that. How can I put it? That we went through. Oh, a couple of months ago, and you and Dr. Todd, from my understanding, received information from the attorney's office, and that information has not come to the board at this point, and I was just wondering why.
I received it the same time you did.
June 12th? From Paul Thomas, Thursday, June 12th, 2014. You received it.
I'm missing now. Yeah, I realize that. It, as a convenience to you, the...
there wasn't an attachment on the email that we received.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't... Paul...
That's all I can
say. Thank you.
Yes.
And we have not received the attachment.
There's no newsflash attachment.
And we have not received it.
I didn't know that.
More than happy to shoot that out to everybody tomorrow. And I believe we'll be having a closed session conversation related to contract issues in August.
That must have been when I wasn't here then.
Next month.
Okay. But it should have been here already. It should have been on the agenda by now. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Mr. Fleury.
Thank you. First of all, I'd like to congratulate Romero on his baseball win this year.
You coached.
I understand you have a very good reputation to coach. Secondly, as you know, I work for Del Monte Cannery, and PCP, one of our sister canneries, for several years have given backpacks to the community of Oroville because we have a cannery there, and the community of Lodi because we have a cannery there. And this is the third year as our secretary is the mother of the person that runs the PCP locally, and they're going to give backpacks to kindergartners at several schools. So I'll get together with Gay, and we'll put together a list, and then I'll submit it to them. I told them I'd get together with you for a list of our most needy schools, and they're going to do backpacks with supplies.
Great.
So
that will
be happening in this next month. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Fleury. Mr. Rand?
I just had the good fortune to be out of town most of the last. But nothing else.
I have to claim the same defense. My annual Santa Cruz trip, although as my kids get bigger, the grandkids are at the right age to get to the 42 inches to ride the boardwalk where Grandpa gets permanent back injuries. But other than that, it's been a nice summer. Mr. Daniel? Mr. Harris? Okay, after that concludes Superintendent's Report. Dr. Todd.
Well, thank you. I will be brief this evening. We are only 3 weeks away from school starting, and as such, we are planning on our agenda for the management team back-to-school meeting, and so I would like to invite the board to come and join the management team for lunch, and I do have some invitations here, and would ask that if you can attend and would like to come to lunch, it is at 11:30 in this room, and if you would let Lisa know if you're going to attend so we can make sure we have enough food for everyone by the 31st of this month, that'll give us plenty of time to make sure we have enough for everyone. And with that, that's the end of my remarks. Thank you.
Well, thank you. Consent agenda, superintendent approval minutes from the special board meeting of June 17th, 2014. Any questions? If not, do I have a motion?
Motion to approve with no additions or deletions.
We have a motion by Mr. Harris. If there's no additions or deletions, do I have a second?
Second.
A second from Mr. Reck. All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? 7-0.
You need one abstention. Phil wasn't here.
Oh, I thought he wasn't here to 6:24.
That's the next
one. Minutes from the regular board meeting of 6:24.
I abstain.
Mr. Miller, you want to abstain from this
yes.
One then? Any questions? If not, deletions or additions?
We need to make a change, I believe, in the minutes on page 7 of the... Minutes.
Eileen Scott.
I believe on page 7 under C of Foothill School, and then it's supposed to be Brown's Gas Company. Just a little something that normally I'd overlook it.
Please note the it's Brown's Gas Company. In the minutes, please.
Brown's Gas Company. Oh, boy.
Just
try to keep you on your toes, Lisa.
Yeah, leave that one alone. Any other concerns? If not, do I have a motion?
Motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve by Mr. Boom. Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, a second. All in favor, please state, saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And Mr. Miller?
Abstain.
It's 6 yes and 1 abstain.
We do need to go back to the first item, the approval of the minutes from the board meeting of 6:17. Mr. Miller wasn't here, I was told.
Oh.
So we'll need to go back and redo that one.
Okay,
please.
It didn't read as such, but let's go back now to the minutes from the special board meeting of 6:17. We will have to amend that. Mr. Miller was absent from that meeting, so please add that deletion. And if so, then...
Does Mr. Harris want to make the motion again?
You want to make the motion with that addition? A motion approved by Mr. Harrison. Who seconded that?
Mr. Rex.
Mr. Rex seconded that. And all in favor, please state by saying aye.
Aye.
And then one abstain. Okay, so Mr. Miller was absent the 17th and the 24th of June. Okay, the consent agenda. Are there any other questions now on minutes? Requested to approve the consent items, and I have a request now already by Mr. Harris to have personnel services number 6 pulled. And personnel services number
business services.
Number one.
I would like to have under nutrition services number 2 poll, please.
Mr. Danable would like nutrition services.
It's number 3.
Number 3. Let me check. What page is that, Mr. Danable?
That
it's
is
10.
And that would be number 3, sir?
Yes.
Okay. Any others?
I would like purchasing department number 1.
Purchasing department number 1. Wait.
Business services.
I probably should ask which ones they wanted.
It's been pulled? Okay,
that's already been pulled.
Yes.
There was another one, Mr. Miller?
No, that was the same
one.
Okay.
Mr. Harris, I began with you, so we can, take it in sequential order.
I'm gonna take action on all the other
Okay. Items. If there's no other consent items you would wish to review or have pulled, can we have a motion on approval of the remainders, please?
Okay. Except for the ones that have been pulled, I'll move that we approve the consent agenda.
We have a motion on the floor by Mr. Reck for approval of the items that have not been pulled. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
And a second by Mr. Danball. All in favor, please state by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That's 7-0 vote. Okay, we will take these in whatever order you choose. Mr. Harris, I started with you. Are you ready to go?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay.
The question I have is about the new position, about the facilities technician. With this person, how many people will we have in the facilities department if this person comes on board?
Well, we have technically 0. We have supplemental contracts right now, so we have 2 working in there to close out projects. We have a presentation later in the in the board that would have 2, and then if you wanted to go the energy management route, that would be 3.
But technically now we have 0, right?
We have 0. We have 2 on supplemental contracts.
2 on supplemental contracts.
Yeah, so this position will be designed to have both administrative and clerical duties,
right,
as well as project management,
right,
and support for whoever would lead that department.
That was my question on this one. Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Let's see, was Mr. Fleury. Oh, you should make it. Yeah, take action on that. Any other concerns, Mr. Harris?
No.
Anyone else wish to address that particular item?
Just a quick question.
Yes, sir.
Regarding restructuring. Did this board vote for restructuring while I was gone? Or?
No.
No, it's later in your agenda.
No, it's...
It's coming up in this agenda. But no, we didn't.
What you have before you are job descriptions, not actual positions that we are seeking to fill on this item.
Right, I understand that, but the restructuring of the facilities department itself, did we vote? Did this board vote?
No.
Not yet.
Yes, that's the question, isn't it?
It's been a topic of discussion, and it was asked to be brought back once additional information was brought forward, and it will be on your agenda later for further discussion. It's carried over from the last meeting. No action has been taken at this point.
But I did ask for requests for it. It is a discussion item.
Yeah, it's in discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Any other concerns? Do I have a motion then on the restructuring of the facilities department?
No.
Or the
job description.
Job descriptions. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Mr. Fleury makes a motion for approval. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second for Mr. Harris. All in favor, please state by saying aye.
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 Opposed? That's 7-0. Okay, let me see. Was it Mr. Reck? Did you have any concerns?
No.
Have we got everything? I got a feeling there's
I
one out
the
there floating.
I believe the next item is nutritional services,
yes.
Number three.
I think it's Jim. Yeah.
Is that you, Jim?
No.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter.
Tony.
I have some concerns regarding this whole thing here due to the fact that I know that we are going to create a some kind of a database that I think is – parents should have an opportunity to opt out on before we just do it as a district. I think it could possibly violate some privacy things. I know for a fact that five states already have banned it from being used in that state, and I know that 29 other states are developing legislation to prevent that from happening. I can see a whole bunch of problems as far as the whole privacy thing going from just possibly identifying people that shouldn't be here, to stolen information, hacking possibly, all the way to religious concerns. I believe that we should have an opportunity to have the public make a decision, or at least give them the ability to opt out on this thing before we start taking any kind of fingerprints of the students. Even though we are supposedly only going to be making a template, that template is going to consist of 21 points being made from the fingerprint. I happen to know that the FBI will consider a match with as little as 12 points. I think we should reconsider this and let the people tell us how we should act on this.
Ryan, please.
I believe what Mr. Danable is referring to is actually item number 2 on the consent agenda, which was approved. That has to do with the fingerprinting, and that has to do with identification purposes to expedite the lines at the schools. Food service?
That seems to be what everybody is using as an excuse to use this.
Well,
we send opt-out letters before we enroll the entire school and anytime there's a new enrollee to the school before we scan any fingers.
I would think that if we have this on the agenda, that you would have put in, so we would have in writing, that they have the ability to opt out.
I understand.
You know, I question whether or not this could be, and some people will believe that this is a violation of civil liberties.
And they have.
I also know that in the state of California, a bunch of districts have decided to do away with the program. As we also know that we just can't get rid of a database. I guess the IRS I can use as a reference there. Well, they haven't been. They've come up now with hard drives that are actually scratched. So I think that we should at least put this thing on hold, maybe put it in the paper what we're going to do, and at least have an opportunity for the people to speak to us.
Ryan, please.
Sorry, again, that I believe that item was number two, and that's been approved already. So item three has to do with a different contract with Rocket Scan Hardware, and it has to do with image one regarding the scanning of the meal applications, the free and reduced meal applications. But so I don't know if the right item got pulled to discuss this.
Well, we're talking about number three. That's going to be scanning, right? Doing some kind of making a template.
So that's scanning of applications. Number two is the scanning of the fingerprint. So I'm not clear on which item you want to discuss.
Yeah. Okay. Well, whatever we are doing here, we are doing something, I think, that we need to get some outside advice on this. Oh, and not only that, but I noticed that the price is like $3,394. I guess my question, does that include the scanners?
Yes, it does, the hardware.
Scanners are about $185 each?
Well, I need to retreat a little bit. The price of $3,300 is actually for the Rocket Scan program, which scans the meal application. So it's two different software and equipment. So the price of the finger scanners is not on number three. That's number two, which was already approved.
Yeah. I think that before we scan anybody's prints, I think we, whatever it is, whether it's the wrong item, I think we need to get some outside advice on this.
Right. One more thing to add on number three, if it is really the meal applications, the reason we can process those and do those with accuracy, it's very important now since we are funded. Our targeted subpopulation has to do with free and reduce, so I definitely don't want to cause any operational inefficiencies in that department because that is the source of our funding for the district, so I just want to caution the board on that respect. But it is, I mean, if there's a concern, we can look into other options. Those free and reduce meal applications are received by every district, and they are scanned in most districts. Regarding the fingerprints, again, that's a different
agenda item. I know what you're saying, but we're talking about identifying people by way of a scan.
That would be number two. That's the fingerprint one. Yeah, that's true.
So whatever the case is, I think we need to either correct that situation.
Well, Mr. Danable, with my kids, I believe the document I received in the mail, you had the option if you didn't want to participate in it. And if one comes to every family, correct?
That's correct.
You just checked a box. So wouldn't that alleviate your concerns? Or
well, it would if we would have been put on the agenda that we've done that. But I have no proof that
we've
done it.
Oh, that's why we have staff here.
I have no proof that that has actually happened.
It hasn't happened, has it?
It has actually happened.
No, they say it has happened.
Yeah, it is.
We've been doing scanning for 2 years now. This item is to change the software and hardware to a more efficient program. We're having a lot of problems with the one that we're currently using, so I sampled two others and I selected this one. It is much more efficient and accurate at identifying the correct student. Either way, we have the opt-out letters that were submitted by parents from the time that we enrolled them, and we continue to give them the opportunity before enrolling any students, and we allow them the opportunity to opt out at any time, even if they were already scanned. We do delete that once they do fill out the opt-out form.
Due to the fact that I was in the military, I guess I'm in the APHIS system, I'd like to opt out of that.
Well, if you have a lunch account, we won't scan your finger. We'll give
what,
you a PIN number.
What I'm saying is I'm not sure that a lot of people pay attention to what's being mailed to them. I think that we need to put it out there in the public so that we protect ourselves. In other words, publish it, that this is going to be happening. Because I don't think children really are at the age of majority to make that decision to walk into the school and get whatever scanned.
No, you're correct. It would be filled out by the parent or an 18-year-old.
But if a parent doesn't...
Yeah, my big concern is if we hold off, Mr. Danable, with the start of school, and so many kids relying on the food services and nutrition. I respect what you're coming from. And,
I don't
and
think
personal
I don't. I don't think a month is going to make a difference.
It will actually.
I realize that, but I mean the scans will take a matter of no time.
Just a question: am I to understand that Each year the kids have to rescan. This is a yearly thing, or
no? That's,
if they stay in our district, then it just continues.
Yeah, it's that's good correct. From K through 12 forever.
So we probably have what percentage of students are already?
It's at every single elementary school.
Okay, so pretty much everybody's in this program unless they opted out.
75% of our students. Yeah.
How many people have opted out?
I can't tell you that.
That's
number.
A good question.
I have a binder in my office upstairs.
Well, you must have some idea. What percentage? How's that? That's a little more.
3%.
3%. So how many have been non-responsive to your letter? 3%. If you send out 100% to the district, and 3% have responded.
Well, it's an active response to opt out. So I only received papers back from the 3% that are opted out. All the others did not respond. So they were enrolled. And there's a specified date that the family needs to respond by, which is our target enrollment date, which we will never enroll prior to that date.
Mr. Danable, when I remember, what was helpful for this new system, kids couldn't give their lunch money to other kids or be bullied into other kids and hand me your card or do that. You have your own marking. Kids couldn't remember their numbers when we had numbers. I'm much like you. I know where you're going with it, but after having two children go through the system, that system does seem to be the most efficient. You don't have the problem that forever a first grader is going to forget the number, or another kid's going to say, hey, give me your lunch card, or I'm going to twist your nose.
I think by not handling this correctly, we're going to be leaving ourselves open to be have some litigation brought against us. I think that we need to put it out, you know, publish it. Just let them know what we are doing.
We could do a public announcement. I'd have to phrase it as more of an announcement.
Well, that's fine. I mean, just saying that it's our intentions. Okay. But I think that we would be overstepping our boundaries if we just go ahead and just start, you know. I do not feel comfortable about this, knowing that we're going to be IDing people by prints that eventually become templates, knowing that the information is not going to be lost.
Paul, I dragged you down from Sacramento, and I hope you've been following along. Could you give your input? Do you see any significant problem litigation-wise?
I
realize that, and I did, just hopeful. Thank you.
And that could be the problem, that people are not aware of what's really happening here.
Excuse me, then you have people like me, you know, conspiracy theorists and all that.
the grassy knoll.
Exactly. And I think the government's after you whether you know it or not. I don't disagree with Mr. Danable. I think it's a way that you keep track of people. I think the worst thing ever invented was a computer. And kids do stupid things. As you know, and so I can't go along with this. I don't see where it's going.
Not only that, but if we get this out now, by the next board meeting, which is on the 12th, the day before school starts, you'll still be able to put, if you got this thing, all your ducks in order, you should be able to roll with it on the 13th.
I'm not sure so you're wanting me to bring this back with a public announcement done, because we've already done the opt-outs, and students are already enrolled in the system, so I'm not really sure.
Well, you have been put on the spot. I sincerely appreciate, Mr. Danable, your input, and I agree with much of what you said, and Mr. Miller. But if we could entertain a motion so we could get the beginning of the school started off. We have days. If you do agree, please note by stating nay on your motion, but could I have a motion
on this item was actually number 2. It was already approved.
This is on the we're talking about the service agreement and item number 3. We're not talking about the program to do the printing. We're talking about the hardware maintenance agreement in this one.
And it was number 2.
We've already approved number 2.
Right. Number 2 has already been
We've already approved number 2.
So
we're
two.
Talking about number 3 now.
Which is the scanner for the meal applications.
Which has no fingerprint data on it. It's
It's clean as a whistle,
yeah.
Huh?
That's right.
Okay, so do I have a motion for number three, please?
I'll make a motion for approval of item number three.
We have a motion by Mr. Harris for approval, number three. Do I have a second, please? Mr. Boom. All in favor, please state by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Two. Aye. Three.
Aye.
Aye. Four.
No.
Nay. Mr. Miller. Mr. Danable. Did you
now,
get that, Lisa?
Since it was so easy for us to, even though I mentioned it, saying that Mr. Miller wasn't here at that meeting when we approved the minutes, then I think that we should be able to go back to that item number two, because I would like to put in a no vote regarding the whole scanning thing.
I'm not sure that's necessary, but I'd like to get a copy of the note that you sent home to parents, okay?
Okay.
If we could all have one.
We could all have one so we'd be familiar with it.
Okay.
And Mr. Danable would like a correction.
Yes.
What was that? Put in the minutes of June 14th?
Yeah, whatever item number is the actual scanning.
But it was called as consent. It wasn't pulled. It was an item that was called consent.
That's correct.
You'd have to go back and pull it.
So it would need to be re-agendized. We had this issue a couple meetings back. And
yes,
so it would
did.
Have to be re-agendized at that time for the board to consider whether they would allow the vote for a second time. If they say yes, then it is voted on. But at first it has to clear by a majority to be brought back up for action.
I think after we get the information from Amber, I think that I would like to see it come up again. A little more time to study it. I'd like to have Mr. Thompson look into it also.
If it's a pleasure to board.
Would you like to make that in a form of a motion, Mr. Danable?
I would like to make the motion that we re-agendize item number two on the consent agenda for the upcoming meeting on August 12th, after we have a little more time to look into this.
Item number two in nutritional services.
Nutritional services, yeah.
We have a motion.
And that's with Amber giving us all the paper.
With Amber giving
stuff,
the paperwork.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to come either way this motion decides, right, Amber? Thank you. Okay, we have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Mr. Miller. All in favor, please state by saying aye.
Can I ask a question before we vote?
Yes, I'm sorry, Mr. Booth.
What's that timeline going to do to funding and stuff? Is there going to be an impact on that funding to the district?
The item's already been approved, so, I mean, we would carry forward unless you want to discuss further. If you want to have further discussions regarding the item, I mean, we're going to go forward with it, but we can make adjustments. Or it's really about operational efficiency. When you have the little kids are coming in, they have staggered lunches. There's a lot of kids going through a small space typically at those older elementary schools. So it's really not, I understand Mr. Danable's concern, but that's not the intention. The intention is just to get the kids in and out and get their lunches and make sure that they receive their free and reduced lunches.
I understand that.
Let me rephrase my question then. If we re-agendize this, it bring it back to the board and it is not passed, what does that do?
We would have to try to terminate the agreement as soon as possible.
And what does that do for funding?
Well, that will just... the funding's there. I mean, we'll have a PO and we'll set up the funding, but then we'd have to look for an alternative, and then in the meantime you're going to have issues obviously at the cafeterias and serving meals, so we'd have to exercise our termination option. But I mean, I think we can have another discussion, and we're going to move forward as it's approved until we have that discussion.
My concern still stems with the beginning of school. Is
it's shocking that in our day we didn't have scans, and I didn't recollect any of my fellow students dying of starvation.
Okay, so that's what is that again? So there was a motion and a second. All in favor of Mr. Danville's proposition, please state by saying aye.
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 Aye. Three aye. Nay. Four nay. 4-3, if that item failed. Okay. Yeah.
The no's were Mr. Miller,
Mr. Crawford, and Mr. Danable.
That was
every vote, excuse me.
The yeses were?
Who voted no?
He had it right. That concludes the consent agenda. Mr. Harris?
And one more. I would just like to say under the purchasing part that I appreciate Kathy and Ryan putting this on the agenda. It's the first time we've seen claims and warrants in a long time. I like the way it shows what was spent, the reconciliation, and it makes us have a better understanding of what is being done in the business department. So congratulations to Kathy and Ryan for doing this.
Thank you, Mr. Fleury. I would like to concur that. Okay, is that the conclusion of consent?
No, we need to take an action on that last one.
That's right. We need to take action on the last one. Do I have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
Motion for approval, Mr. Fleury. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Harris. All in favor, please state aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Miller? That's 6-1. Okay, now that concludes the consent agenda.
No.
New business.
No. Yeah.
No. Oh, yes, that's right. Any discussion?
Yes, questions.
Yes. I don't have the answer to that.
So Ryan. we had interviews for the Director of Fiscal Services. There were some candidates that were promising. However, we decided to reopen it to try to get a little larger candidate pool. Mm-hmm. That will be closing August 4th, and we'll be interviewing likely tentatively August 7th. So it depends who we hire, basically, is the short answer on how long that training and support is going to be. Our goal is to minimize that. However, if you have somebody that starts at a lower range on the salary schedule, they might need a little bit more time to bring themselves up to speed with the environment. For example, when I came in as CBO, Ms. Ryland was here for a month and then she went away. So, because I had experience as a chief business official, assistant superintendent. So it's all dependent on what, and we'll keep the board apprised of that schedule. Because once we hire somebody, the first thing we're going to do is generate that schedule, and it may dissipate a little bit over time, meaning more hours at the beginning, less till zero.
Because down on the bottom it says systematically directors trained and acclimated the contract may be terminated within a party with 30-day notice. I can't understand why we would bring an outside consultant in to train someone in what we want them to do and to do the job that we want them to do. I would think that we would have staff that could do that on hand instead of paying $130 an hour per professional.
We do, so that kind of person wouldn't be here every day. At the most, at the beginning, it would be only a couple days a week. So if you have a five-day week, obviously it's not going to be all the time, and we're going to provide the training and the support within-house. But, again, it depends on their experience. If you have somebody that's been a director for 10 years, that's going to go away very quickly. Mm-hmm. If you have somebody that's never been a director but is very, very, you know, has a lot of promise, has a lot of technical skill, they just need the experience and to ramp up to that, it's worth investing that money because then hopefully you'll have somebody there that's very good for the district for many years to come. It depends on their experience. Also, they'd be getting paid less if they had less experience because they'll probably start on the salary schedule a lot lower. So you're saving a little money there. But our goal is to transition as quickly as possible.
But any money we would save by paying them lower on the salary schedule will be eaten up at $130 an hour.
Yeah.
Rapidly.
No, you're correct. It will be, and our goal is to transition as quickly as possible. This person's also been serving as an interim director of fiscal services, so they have to get them up to speed anyways just on what's been happening since they got in.
I could understand that. I could understand maybe a week or two in transition because this director will have you over them where you walked in and Ms. Ryland was with you for a while, so until yeah. she brought you up to speed. But I can understand that person having the person from Ryland Associates in there for a short period of time, maybe to acclimate them to what they've been doing, where they're going, and how they're all set up.
Again, it's only relative to experience. I had experience as in my current position, so when I came in within a month, she was no longer here.
No.
Hopefully, we can find somebody with that experience. Exactly. Maybe we won't. Maybe we'll have to invest a little bit more in somebody that would stay in the district a long time. But, you know, training, whatever job it is, we want to make sure we have whoever's in that position to be mm-hmm. able to do that. And they might have the skills and the requirements to meet that, but they still need to take them to the level that we require here and the expectations we have from our department directors. We may need to train them a little bit. It just depends. But we can update the board based on who's hired and what our plan is.
But I'm thinking that we train them from in-house, not outsource that training, have in-house training.
We will for a lot of elements, and our goal is to do as much of that in-house as possible.
Okay. Thank you.
I do want to say that you mentioned that this would be for a couple of days, a week.
At the most, we think at the beginning it would only be two of the 5 days a week at
okay,
most.
Okay, the item says 2 to 3 days. That's a difference of like $3,600 a month.
It will be at the most two full days. They might be here for a half day one, half day there, so they might physically be here for 3 days, but the total would be about 2 days a week.
Okay, so this says 2 to 3 days, and that's money. That's wiggle room. If you're being specific with us about a couple of days, I don't care if they do that couple of days over 5 days. You know,
yes.
It's still equal.
So it would be two, no more than the hours of 2 days, but it might be split into 3 physical days. That's all I meant. So to be specific, it shouldn't be more than 2 hour days.
So it shouldn't be more than 16 hours per week.
Yeah, well, we can make it so it won't be more than 16 hours.
Well, when we vote on it, it's going to be board approved, and it's not saying that in the item.
No.
Right?
Well, you can make them.
But
you can amend the motion to say not to exceed 16 hours a week. I mean, I could tell her it's not a problem.
You can do that within your motion.
Yeah, that's whatever you guys want.
Yeah, I have the same concern that we're not doing more in-house training. You know, 2 days a week over a school year is over $100,000 at that rate. I think it's around $104,000 if you're to work a 52-week work week at 2 days a week. Anyway, so that concerns me. How long will that person be here, and why are we not doing the training?
I could
see them staying with them for 30 days, you know, getting them on their feet, getting them going, you know, twice a week for 4 weeks or whatever, and then your department take over that training.
I will obviously spend a lot of time with this person and get them up to speed and make sure that they have the background and the skills to perform the job. But again, that's why I said it's over time, it's a graduated. If somebody is up to speed in terms of they know everything that comes with the director of fiscal services job, then it'll probably be 30 days or less. If that person has a little less experience, you might have 2 days the first month, then it goes down to 1 day, then eventually half a day. So it's relative to the person that's hired. I'll gladly give you a schedule once we did, and we could always amend the contract at a later date, but until I know the background and who's being hired, it's hard for us to determine what that schedule is going to be. But we can limit it to the 2 days and then come back and do a further amendment. We're open to that. We just want to make sure we have it in place so that in the time right now we have somebody doing the interim work, and then when somebody's hired, then we'll adjust accordingly. So we're open to making an amendment at a further date regarding that.
I agree with Mr. Boom. You know, in the training, there's no training in the physical services department. We had somebody come in right away. This young lady come in right away. She took over. She did what she had to do. And now all of a sudden we have to keep her, or we have to continue her contract.
It's somebody from her firm, but it's somebody with her firm has experience as a director of fiscal. Director of fiscal services, I would argue, is the most technical job in the entire district. There's a lot of financial requirements that if you haven't served in that position, it's going to be difficult to catch everything, and I will definitely lend support to that position, and so will this person, and we hope to cover all the bases, because if we do not cover all the bases, it has consequences for the district that are obviously substantial. So we just want to make sure that we have that person completely supported in all areas.
Does the other person that we had approved on the LCAP 2 weeks ago, or whenever the last meeting was, mm-hmm. that was coming into the office as an oversight?
They won't be here in time. That position will not be filled. We haven't moved on that position. We're waiting to actually get a director in so that the director can assess that, and if we move forward on that or otherwise amend that.
If that person was in place, could they not also help with the training, being that's their job as oversight for the district?
They could help with some of the training, yes, but they won't be in place.
Part of the issue is the applicant pool and their level of experience, and if we get someone in here who is ready to go, that's a whole different proposition. If it's someone who is new to the position and has to be trained, has never been in that position before, then that's going to take more time for training. So it depends on who we can attract and hire. So that's kind of the unknown at this point, and that's why it's left kind of open-ended, depending on the level of experience and skill that the new person comes in with.
Do we call this person in when we need them? Like we say, all right, we'd like you to come in Monday and Tuesday and bring this up to speed.
Yeah, we go over the schedule with them. So we determine it. So you can approve a contract, for example, and then we get somebody that has a lot of experience. I can cut them off the day after. I just say, well, we no longer need your services. We have that ability under this agreement. It's for whatever we tell them, we authorize them to come in and,
but you can't
and do.
It's got a 30-day notice period. It says it has a third party.
To terminate the agreement, but if you say we have no work for them, there's no work for them.
So is that not terminating the agreement?
That's not providing them with any services, but to formally terminate the agreement, we have to give them a 30-day notice. That doesn't mean we have to give them hours.
So they can only charge when they are actually supplying a service here.
We control. We dictate what services we need to them.
Okay. Just don't want them charging us hourly for standing in a corner.
Well, no, we don't either.
Any other questions on item number 6, business services? If not, do we have item 1? Excuse me. Do we have a motion?
I'll make the motion, but I'd like to limit it to 16
okay,
hours
what
a week.
You're looking that way. How would you like that word, Mr. Harris and Mr. Danable?
Mr. Danable.
Go ahead.
I make the motion for this item, but I'd like to limit it to 16 hours. However they want to spend that during the week, it doesn't matter. Whether it's 4 hours a day, 2 hours a day, whatever. Forever, how long this is going to run for? Yeah.
I just have one caveat, and that's once we hire somebody as director, because right now we don't have a director, so we've been having somebody fill in. So there may be times where I need him like 24 hours. It depends on what's, because they're doing year and close right now, so there's
okay,
a lot
so
of work.
So now we just jumped an entire day, and that equals about $3,600 more.
The circumstances are different when you have somebody in place and you don't have somebody in place. So I just want to understand the distinction. If you're trying to make a distinction or you're trying, because we have been using them when there's no director more than 16 hours. When a director is hired, we will not use them more than 16 hours. I have no problem with that. I'm just trying to understand if it's okay that we make that distinction, because there's a big difference when you have nobody in the seat and somebody there.
So if we approve this motion at 16 hours, then it would have to come before the board again to approve another 16 hours or another similar item.
That's a good question. What is the maximum amount of hours that we would use this person under the worst case scenario?
If you can give, I guess, up to 20 or 24 hours through August, and then after August, make it 16, that should cover our needs.
So we're talking about now a part-time position, not just a couple of days and a few hours.
Until we get somebody to fill the position. We have no one in the position right now. So they're doing an interim job. Just as Ms. Ryland would come in 3 days a week before I came aboard.
So then if the motion were a 40-hour maximum over 2 months, then you think that would cover it probably. So this isn't going to drag on all year.
No, if you can give 24 hours a week until the end of August and then 16 hours a week September 1st on, it should be no problem.
The only question I have regarding the whole thing is it's obvious that this is going to get voted on. But if you were looking for 24 hours a week, why didn't we just put 24 hours a week in the item?
The original contract didn't have any of those limitations. I mean, I could have put it. I have no problem with the hour limitation. It's just the original contract never had those limitations.
I just want the full story out there is all I'm trying to say. You know, it's recorded that you said a couple of days. The thing says 2 to 3 days. We went from 16 hours immediately up to 24 hours.
It depends, again, on the circumstances in that office. I'm just trying to, that's why I was trying to be clear and give you the distinction. We know exactly what we need, and we're trying to be clear about everything, so we want to make sure that information gets to you.
I guess in my case, I'd rather know worst case scenario all the time.
Okay, the worst case is you don't have anybody in that position, 3 days. Best case is you have somebody in that position, and it's 2 days or less. So best case is zero, ultimately, once you get somebody up to speed in that position.
And if we do hire somebody, we are not obligated to give the 30 days notice. We will not have to pay somebody for not being here.
If there's no work that's generated, we don't have to provide them with work. We'll tell them our contract's formally terminated in 30 days, and this contract's no longer in effect. But if we don't have work or service that we need, then we don't have to give them that work.
So we need a contract for this? We can't consider a contract labor?
Eventually, you can ratify a contract. We're just trying to formalize it. The same reason that you're asking these questions is why we brought this contract forward, because we want everything to be brought, all contracts to be brought before the board so that they approve them in the fashion that they deem appropriate.
Well, Mr. Danable, you started with correct me if I'm wrong, a motion to limit 16 hours per week.
Well, that was the information that was originally given to me.
Well,
but now we're up to 20 hours, possibly 24 hours.
It's your motion.
Well, I would like to keep it to the minimum 16 hours, a couple of days is what was said to me.
I think what Mr. DiGiulio was asking is that until they get another person on board to give him 20 to 24 hours a week for somebody to help do the books, because there's nobody in that department right now. Once they hire somebody on, then he would limit it to two days max a week. Because right now there is nobody doing that position. There's nobody there.
Correct. I have a question. Where are we in hiring the business services person at this point?
It's reflown. The posting closes August 4th. We hope to have interviews tentatively on August 7th. I know a couple board members were on the interview panel before. Likely continue that, and then hopefully we'll bring a name, hopefully August 12th, if we can get.
So what you're saying is it depends on the quality. If you can find a crackerjack person that is not going to take this much training, but in case you can't, you've got to be prepared, because we're trying to close out our books at the end of the year, which is, I know, is a very busy time. That's what you're saying, right?
Yeah. If you have somebody that comes in, like I said, that's been a director of fiscal for 10 years, and they've done all this job before, the transition is going to be very quick, relatively quick. If you have somebody that has worked in an accounting office but never worked as a director of fiscal, there's some technical issues that they're going to need some hand-holding a little bit until they get totally familiar with those issues.
Yes.
I'll do some of that definitely myself.
I'm going to change that motion to 20 hours.
So just to be clear, 20 till the end of August and then September 1st, 16.
Okay.
Limit 20 hours per week till the end of August?
Yeah.
To the end of August. Do I have a second on that motion?
And then 16 hours thereafter.
And then 16 hours thereafter. Correct, Mr. Down?
As needed.
Right.
As needed. Limit 16 hours per week till the end of August.
No, it's 20 hours per
20
week.
20 hours per week, and then 16 hours per week thereafter, if needed.
That's fine.
Okay, we have that motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
A second, Mr. Fleury. All in favor, please state by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Mr. Harris and Mr. Miller. 5-2. I do believe now that concludes. All right. Anything else? New business? Purchasing Department. Resolution 2014-15-0, state contracts. We have someone here to speak. Kathy,
please.
How are you?
Good. Good evening. This is just another tool for our department to utilize. If we choose it's necessary and there's better pricing available, we'd like to have all these tools available. And we periodically take this resolution to the board for approval. We can use state contracts, cooperative purchasing contracts are on this also. Currently, we're using WSCO, which is part of the state contracts, to get our Hewlett-Packard computers, and also most recently some Verizon purchases are related to the WSCO contract. So it's just another tool for the purchasing department to utilize.
Any questions, Mr. Scott? Thank you for your wonderful work. No, did you have questions?
No.
Any questions from the board discussion? If not, do I have anyone to entertain a motion?
I'll move to approve.
We have
I'll second.
Approval. Second by Mr. Miller. All in favor, please state by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? That passes 7-0. Child Development Program, Resolution 2014-15-02, 2014-15 Child Development Program.
Good evening.
Hi, Kathy. How are you?
Well, how are you today?
I'm fine. Thank you.
The first resolution that we have before you is actually just an ongoing contract that the Department of Education issues us in the amount of $5,000, and we use those dollars to facilitate language and literacy activities with children, purchasing books, hosting our Raising a Reader activities, and helping to have parent meetings and focusing on illustrating to parents the importance of reading to your children. And it's an ongoing contract that we are issued every year. Any questions?
Questions for Mrs. Wood? None? Thank you very much.
Okay.
Good seeing you.
Make a motion.
We have a motion of approval, Mr. Harris.
Second.
And second by Mr. Danable. All in favor,
I'll
please
second.
State aye.
Aye.
Aye. That's unanimous. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Resolution 2015. Go ahead, Kathy.
Okay. The second resolution before you is just the issuance of our annual contracts that we get from the Department of Education. These two contracts, our CSPP is targeted specifically for our California State Preschool Program, and the second contract is our Child Development School Age Program, which is our year-round program that we offer for school-age children. These funds allow us to do the work that we do and serve approximately 600 students at 9 different school sites throughout the district. So, again, we earn these contracts every year, and this is just a continuance of what we typically are issued.
Great. Any questions, Ms. Wood?
Is there a little more funding this year than last year?
Not as of yet. They restored some of our funds this mid-year last year, and we were able to keep those dollars. There is some discussion about allocating additional preschool slots statewide, but we haven't had an opportunity to apply for those as of yet. But we, of course, will always be at the table trying to seize more.
Cross your fingers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Any other questions? If not, do I have a motion to be entertained?
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Mr. Fleury, a second by Mr. Miller. All in favor, please state by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. That passes 7-0. Thank you very much. The next item is a discussion item, business services, restructuring the facilities department. Ryan?
Okay, so I have this handout in front of you. It's a two-page handout. We had presented originally on this at the June 24th meeting, and Mr. Boom had commented he wanted to see some prices, and these are just suggestions or estimations of what the structure we had shown before. Currently, we have a director of, well, no longer, it's vacant, but we, and it was eliminated, we had a director of facilities. We had a construction manager, one who's still working on a supplemental services agreement to finish the Ella Elementary project. We have an assistant project manager who's still currently working on a supplemental services agreement to finish the Ella Elementary building, and the administrative secretary position was eliminated. So we have two people currently working on a temporary basis to finish the bond construction. I'd like to draw your attention first to a little bit. The second page has some notes, and as I go through, I'm going to give you some notes. So all of these salaries that you see are either actuals or estimations. Well, on the prior structure, I gave you the actual salary, what was paid for each of those positions last year. And you can see their salary range and step. So what schedule they were on, what range, what step. It depends on their experience, obviously. The benefits are take into account all benefits we pay, which is for their classified staff. So it's the CalPERS, statutory benefits, Social Security, Medicare, state unemployment, workers' comp, and then health and welfare. So that's the actual benefits cost. Obviously, it's a little higher on the statutory side for CalPERS, the higher the salary is. And you can see overall, we spent actual compensation of 13-14. This is not including any extra hours or any of the supplemental agreements that are in 14-15, $360,000 to maintain that. A big note I want to take you to is number two. You see by developer fees. And California Education Code, there's a kind of a long listing of the legislation there that oversees or determines what we can use developer fees for. And developer fees are really supposed to be used for growth or needed facilities based on student population. We haven't had the growth in the recent years. In the past, there has been projects that have been completed under developer fees, but you can't use these fees for routine maintenance, asbestos removal, deferred maintenance, those types of things. And then also, you can only charge administrative costs of 3% to that fee. So you for administering the developer fee. So there's not really administrative costs you can charge there. You really have to have actual project costs going there. Well, we don't have those projects any longer because we don't have the growth. So moving forward, I would recommend any positions we have cannot be paid out of developer fees. They really have to be paid out of the general fund. So that's something we have to consider. So anything we do, is going to have an impact on the general fund. I just want to be candid about that. You'll see tonight we have a little bit positive news on the general fund, even from a month ago when I present on the budget. But I want to do things by obviously the regulation. So for me, I wouldn't feel comfortable moving forward paying those salaries out of developer fees. That being said, the proposed structure that we brought before you last time is that, just a proposed structure. We're amenable to change. And the real emphasis of what we were trying to do is to have a different look of facilities. We do not have the bond construction program now. We're well aware of that. We do have many, many projects that require closeout. And that's, you're not going to see them on the construction sites as much, but they're going to be doing a lot of paperwork, working with OPSC and DSA, close out those projects. That's a lot of work, but I mean, you're not going to see construction, but just because the hammer's put down doesn't mean the construction's not done. Those buildings aren't approved, and we have students in them. That's a liability that the district and the board, I guarantee, does not want to be held accountable for. So what we were thinking was to have somebody come in and do a lot of those things, to close out projects, to address any warranty issues on the constructed buildings, to develop. We do not have a five-year deferred maintenance plan. We're sending $820,000 to do deferred maintenance. And we have a maintenance department, but they don't have a deferred maintenance plan. It really is facilities, maintenance and operations, grounds, and custodial should be in unison in determining what are the true needs of our campuses. Maintenance does not mean facilities. Facilities does not determine the planning. And you'll see we have a maintenance staff. We contract out for some maintenance projects, but we need to determine what are the things we're going to do to replace those systems, whether it be roofing, HVAC, whatever, flooring systems, or whatever it may be. Facilities is really the ones that need to determine that. And a lot of that goes into our district standards. We have district standards that need to be redeveloped because there are certain things we've seen, even in my short time here, that need to be more conducive to the heavy use and the use of a student, especially young children. There are also projects we have to do with landscaping, and we do have a maintenance person that carries out those and works with their ground staff to do that. I'm a ground supervisor, sorry. But again, the planning, that side of it, really organizing and planning those is very difficult to do, and also supervise the staff. There's Prop 39 that we need to get moving forward on. We have nobody really running that program. We're probably going to bring an RFQ before the board. And try to see a firm to manage those projects specifically because they're very specific regarding energy efficiency and that trade. but you're going to need somebody to guide that whole process. We have those security cameras, which we're going to go out to bid on. Somebody needs to run that project. We're going to issue new RFQs and RFPs and also seek other funding besides bond funding to do facility projects in the interim. We also have a lot of labor compliance issues that are going to continue. That's why we need the technician to help out, but we also need somebody to oversee that process. We have to update all our site plans. We have a lot of facility information that we have not sorted through, and we have not done the proper, not proper, just haven't got to really bring those up to date and where they need to be. There's a lot of site compliance and suggestions and issues we need to do, and we need to do some lighting evaluations and changing there. We need to retool basically all our planning and remaster plan, and eventually we will likely have to seek funding. Albeit it might not, if we, depending on the state bond, where it comes from, state matching funds, whatever, but I mean, we probably will have to do a bond at some point. I don't know when that point's going to come, but that's the reason of having that. And then the other part to keep that person, that's just the facility side. The other part was to have an energy management side, and the energy management side was you pay a lot of, there are companies that do that energy conservation, and the energy management really goes into, they go out on a Friday night, for example, make sure all the equipment's, you know, turned off. I've been going out and visiting sites. I've been walking into, and it's the summer right now, right? So the rates are very high, right, for electricity. I'll walk into a brand new multipurpose room, which is, what, 30,000 square feet, and the air's running at 68 degrees. That's costing the district money. There's other things, too, that you can work with staff to change their behavior. Hey, turn the light when you leave. Do that. I know it sounds simple, but you have to have somebody there helping and championing that effort. Somebody also can help incentivize the sites. We can work to give some of those savings back. There's a lot of work that could be done on the energy management site, but that's going to take somebody designing and managing that program, doing the training, working with other outside opportunities for training. Again, you'd pay hundreds of thousands of dollars to have somebody do that. Well, under Prop 39, and you'll see there's a note on number 7, you can pay up to 10% of your award money, which is $44,494 approximately, to fund an energy manager. So we can use some of our Prop 39 funds to do that eventually. And that would also, I think, take a lot of the director's time to focus on that energy program and to help that person, that what we would call an energy specialist, be out at the sites. We have 23 sites. You have to get out there. You have to meet with staff. You have to change their behavior. You have to work with them on best practices. You have to work with maintenance staff on shutting down all the equipment. These things do take time, and they take your regular hours, too. There's a lot of weekends and nights, getting on roofs, I mean, checking HVAC. I mean, it's a big program because I've done it before. We had an energy manager, and it wasn't even funded out of Prop 39. So an energy specialist, energy manager, you know, it's a matter of semantics. Whoever's going to be the person, boots on the ground, they're going to have a lot of work to do. Somebody's going to have to manage that process. We paid a company over $200,000 a year to manage that process. We're saying part of what our director's time would be spent on that energy management process. Maybe 50, maybe 30%. It just depends on how the other items on their desk. I personally know it could save hundreds of thousands of dollars and likely pay for the facility structure. However, this is not the only way to do it. This is just a way. The next item with Eric Hall, they'll also provide a recommendation if we want to move forward. I've been helping out on the day-to-day in the facilities, but there is going to need to be somebody that leads that department. Whether we make it two people or three people and add that energy management component is really, we're just trying to provide options. And you can see when we provide the estimated compensation, it's based on kind of a mid-range. The AMA sits on range 7. Range 30, those ranges are correct, but the steps we just used, like I think on AMAs you'll see note 4, we use step 9, which is kind of in the middle. Step 4 on the OE3, we just use kind of middle range. We don't know where that person would be located. It's based on experience, but it's just to give you an estimated compensation. So you could see you're basically one person down. And again, part of that funding would come from Prop 39. So just trying to give numbers, Mr. Boom had commented on, and give you the background on facilities, but this is if we wanted to move forward. Obviously, we have a consulting contract to have somebody come in. We're going to need somebody to come in and really kind of assess where we're at, but they'll also provide a staffing recommendation if we'd like, but again, I went over the cost of that. So we're open and amenable. I just wanted to give you some data on that restructuring and kind of take it from there.
Questions to the board?
Yeah. On the Prop 39 money, what do we have about? Is it about $400,000?
Yeah, it's about $444,000.
Over a five-year period?
Yeah, for a five-year period. And we've received the planning funds, but we haven't. We're going to do some energy audits at Lynnhurst High School, Marysville High School, and Linda Elementary. Mm-hmm. So I'm working on that right now. But I have some help, you know. I mean, we have the project manager, so he's been helping out on that as he does the supplemental services, and also Ella. So it's just a matter of a person getting out to the site and being there. You know, you need to be at those sites with people managing the process. It takes a little time because they're going to be there. Like, for example, when they did energy audits, it's a 5-6 hour day just at the site.
I know I asked this before, but our remaining two employees will get a chance to apply for these?
Anyone. We just want the best. We just want the most qualified people to do the best job for this district. I mean,
and their contract has been extended, and did you say until August?
Yeah.
The two that are there?
So far. It depends on. Yeah. Well, there's one through August, one through July, but the July one will be renewed, so essentially August for both. So, again, there's a lot of things that go beyond the construction phase and that need to be extended, and we need to start moving towards the future and planning. I know it's difficult to commit funds to things that you don't necessarily might not see for a few years, but if we want to avoid getting into a situation where we don't believe we're carrying out the vision of what our facility needs are. And there are a lot of facility needs still, regardless of what has been spent. I mean, there's been a lot of good things done in this district, but there's still a lot that needs to be done on these sites. So we're going to have to continue to motor forth. You have to spend the time. There's other structures that can take place. I know we have, I've done in the past where you had a director that oversaw facilities, maintenance, operations, and transportation. So we have somebody that oversees kind of M&O and transportation now, and then you had sub-directors under. You could do that. You just need people that are paying attention. There's a lot of detail work, I think, that is time-consuming, and we got to get moving forward. If there truly is a situation where somebody is not working to the fullest potential, we'll let you know. I mean, we'll be the first to say, okay, you know, we need to make adjustments.
So we have been paying the positions that we had before out of developers' fees.
Yes.
Totally.
Yes, and it should be specifically tied to a project. So, for example, say you didn't do it in-house, you paid a firm to do it, you would charge it to developer fees as a soft cost for that project or whatever it is, but it can only be under that project. When you're having them do general work for the district, it can't be charged to developer fees. It's only for growth projects, student growth projects, population
so
growth.
This proposed structure, this would come out of our general fund?
Yes. That's why I want to do the energy management piece, because I want to try to find a way to save enough money to cover the cost. And I do think there's a lot of potential, maybe save more than what this cost would be. I've seen it, you know, I think with the size of our district and what we spend, it could be $200,000, could be over $400,000, depending on how much we do. It depends, again, on utility rates, because as utility rates rise, you know, you're going to be paying more money even if you're using less. But you'd be paying even more with those higher rates if you're using the same. So it's really about, there's two different components really there's three components to energy management. There's the billing side and what kind of rebates you have and those different programs that you have, which this person would help work on. There's the behavioral side, which is how much energy you're using. So people turning off lights, people turning off their computer, people turning off HVAC when nobody's in the room. Those kind of things will affect it. And then finally, the last part is really your equipment. So the more efficient that your equipment is, and that's where Prop 39 we're going to work on, trying to change out equipment. That doesn't mean there aren't other opportunities. There's rebates available. I've done things where the water department gives you a rebate and you re-landscape an area. It takes less water, so you're saving money on that, and you create something that requires less maintenance and beautifies the area. So there's a lot of those opportunities out now. It's a big thing, I think, just in school districts to really be energy conscious. And it, not only does it create savings, it creates, we believe, better citizens. And so there's educational components we can tie into it. I know there's clubs and different things we can do also with the program that this specialist would work on. So it's an all-encompassing approach to energy management.
Ryan, you kind of took the words out of my mouth when you talked about facilities, grounds, and maintenance being under one director. I mean, to me, that's something that needs to come together. And is it, would it be more feasible and a better bang for our buck to, instead of hiring a director for facilities, to have one director for all three, so that all three of those departments are working together instead of going their separate ways as they do now?
You could do that. You'd still have to have somebody that kind of oversees the facility parts, because, you know, you have to see somebody oversee each part, but it could be a different position. I mean, you could save a little money on who, what that position, because the responsibility is a little less when you have somebody overseeing them. So there's options. That's why part of what we have with the Eric Hall and Associates, which is coming up next, is to kind of see what's going on in that department, really reassess it, because I haven't been able to get in every nook and cranny. It takes time. So when you have dedicated people that have the experience in facilities, they're going to get in those things really quick. And so they'll make a recommendation too. So we could wait to them. We just brought this recommendation before the board to say, well, if you don't want to spend that money, here's your option. But if you want something long term, sometimes you do have to invest a little money on the front end to get the proper structure long term. So I want to just present options. There's a lot of different ways we can handle this, but I want you guys to see kind of the different options we're considering.
Yeah, well, to me it makes sense what you talked about before with the facilities, grounds, and maintenance, yeah, and kind of getting them working together. I mean, that's something that needs to happen.
There needs to be coordination.
Right.
Regardless of the structure, there should be coordination between all of those, because they're so interdependent.
Any other questions? This is a discussion item.
I have a couple of questions. I kind of think I understand what Mr. Boone is saying. We can't place this director of facilities and energy management under the maintenance directors and use whatever we have available help-wise, worst case scenario, maybe hire another administrative assistant.
It depends what the job is. If you're placing it under somebody that oversees all three departments, you'd probably be able to do that. But if you put it just under maintenance, the responsibilities actually would probably be at a higher level, so I don't know how you can do that. So it just depends on what departments are under where, but we're open to considerations. There's a lot of different ways to do that. But you could have a director of facilities and maintenance, for example, and then have like a maintenance supervisor under that. That would work. You know, there's a lot of different ways you can do it. There's no clear-cut way, but it just depends on what their responsibility is. The facilities department there's a lot more regulations and requirements and technical aspects to it than just maintenance. So usually my prior district, well, we had a director of facilities, maintenance, operations, and transportation. And we had a coordinator of maintenance and operations and a transportation coordinator. The director of all those departments, he primarily did facilities, but then he oversaw the other two. So
we're creating these positions. Do we have any idea who we're looking for? I mean, is there some kind of description of the person? Or are we just going to...
We haven't created any positions yet. We're just talking about them. So you want somebody with facilities experience in schools, and especially the ability to obtain funding outside of bonds would be really... And I think somebody with construction experience, I mean, I'm just speaking from my own personal belief, but it depends on your applicant pool, just like when we're talking about the director of fiscal. We just want to have the most... You got to be pretty well-rounded with facilities. You got to know a lot of different things. And we want to create, too, an environment, and it's going to take more time than maybe in the past. We really want to have that interchange with stakeholders. So things I've done in the past are, you have a facility advisory committee. That takes time, but that's how you generate, or you create a long-term master plan that meets the needs of the stakeholders. You can't just say, this is what we're going to do, because then you're not considering what the stakeholders truly need. So there's a lot of work that goes into that planning and the reassessment of what you have, too. I mean, you have to dig through a lot just to see where we're at and what our needs are. I'm going to say there's a lot of needs. This is not going to go away in the near future. So we have to stay on top of it. But the structure, we're open to. If you wanted to take action now, this is a proposed structure we could do. If you need more time, we could come up with other structures. If you want the recommendation from Eric Hollins, we can do that too. Whatever you guys kind of direct us to do.
I believe this is the second meeting also that you told us that we seem to be wasting energy.
There are opportunities to save money regarding energy, yes.
This is just a thought. I'm wondering if we have given any consideration to, like, little things above the switches that say turn me off, and maybe a memo to the faculty saying to be more aware of this, or possibly even a checklist like they do in restrooms, clean that.
We have done that, but it does require a lot of monitoring. You have to get people on the site. There's, you know, you have the local control accountability plan, right? Well, you write a plan down and you give people information, but if you don't hold them accountable, then what is it? What is that plan worth? It's the same thing with energy management. You have to hold people accountable. You have to be out there. You have to be monitoring these things. It's a really hands-on job to really get the savings you want to do. You could putting something on paper isn't necessarily accomplishing it. So it takes a lot of work.
Any other questions? This was a discussion. So we look to agreement with Eric Hall and Associates for Facilities Department Number 2.
Mr. Carver, sorry, is there any direction the board? Do you want us to weigh? I just want to know.
That's why I was hoping that the reason for the discussion is how would you like Ryan to head and what direction he'd like to go. So this would be the time to speak.
We could put it on again next meeting too, give you time to think about it or provide any other further information at that point. I know last time Mr. Boomett said he wanted these kind of financial figures, so.
I think I'd like to see some kind of job descriptions also of the people that we're looking for. We seem to have no problem figuring out what we want to pay these people.
Well, the facilities technician is going to, is already been approved. So I can give you guys templates. At least you can see them, not for approval, but just see what these two positions would look like. Yeah. I could do that and work with Mr. Carrion to bring that before your next meeting. No problem.
Yeah, Ryan, I appreciate you bringing these to us. And, you know, I would like to see us tie the facilities, grounds, and maintenance together somehow, some way. Dr. Todd, I don't know what your thoughts are on that. But as far as bringing three people on board and not having that director be tied to all three, I think that's too much money for what we're doing right now. We're not spending millions of dollars building buildings right now. And I know there's still a lot of paperwork to do, but I don't think that paying somebody $86,000 a year to tell everybody to shut the lights off is something we should be doing. I mean, I understand there's a lot more to that, but you know, $285,000 a year with no projects going, just closing a few projects out and maybe a few projects coming online, to me would make more sense if we grouped all three of those under some. So we got that. So that director that's making $130,000 a year would have a broader scope, and then he would also have help with the energy side of it from the energy specialist and the technician.
So. Yeah, I can give you guys both the job descriptions and an alternative structure that would.
I mean, to me, I would rather see us go that direction rather than paying a director just to be the director of facilities only at this point. Now, when we move forward, we get more projects. You know, as we did before, we built this whole facilities department was built as we spent bond money and built, you know, buildings and classrooms and gymnasiums and everything else, and so now it's scaled back. You know, we can always build onto it as the need arises.
Yes, and two, you know, there's another, again, if we bring in Eric Hall and Associates, give him a couple months to really dig into everything, and they've worked in several districts and different structures, they can provide a recommendation too. So I can give you an alternative, but you guys don't have to take action on it yet. You can wait for that objective outside opinion. But the longer we take action, the more we're going to spend to have somebody kind of fill in and make sure that we get everything handled. I'll definitely do as much as I can to help, and I'll have to because a firm like that's only going to come in a couple days a week. I have to hand the ship all the other moments, and it takes time. But that's okay. We can make through, but to have that proper structure to really move us forward where we need to go, it's going to have to be something permanent eventually.
Anyone else? Mr. Miller, your feelings?
It does sound as if the board is amenable to looking at more of an umbrella approach with the director. So perhaps we'll move forward with that and some sub folks below that director who may have more experience, say, in the facilities specific with some of those OPSC and actual closeout types of skills and talents. So we can certainly work on that and bring that back for the board to consider.
Great. Correct me if I'm wrong. I know we're not to number two yet, but this would give us until, October or November?
October 22nd.
To figure out this, what we want to do in this other section. So we have time to actually come up with some different ideas on
where
that.
Where do you get the date, October 22nd?
And in number two, Mr. Fleury.
It's in number two there. If
it's
that
in
comes
the last
up.
Paragraph.
So it gives us, this number two gives us the time to come up with a plan. I like
Jim.
Mr. Broom's idea there, too, of getting several of our departments to coordinate together.
If we took that title director off of this facility and energy management thing and we just called it a facilities manager, how much difference would that make if we put it under, let's say, maintenance, and we had a facilities manager there?
It depends what the job description is. I mean, if you...
I guess what I'm asking is, how much are we spending for the word director?
Well, it's semantics. It depends on what's the job responsibilities. You can call it potato, potato. It's all about the responsibilities that person has to do. So the facilities responsibilities, it would be hard to put those responsibilities at a lower pay than a maintenance.
Okay, so
because the responsibilities are going to be a little bit more technical.
What I've seen when we give this title director, it seems that there's a pay increase of about $30,000. So if we made him a manager, maybe we can get the same work for $67,000.
You're gonna get when you pay less, you're gonna get less. It's difficult to recruit here.
Get what you pay for.
You are. I understand there's obviously a fiscal side, and it's all about finding that balance between getting the kind of results and the work product that we need to have as a district, but also spending the money to attract that kind of talent that will bring that work product. It's a delicate balance. That's why we present options to the board, and we're not trying to act rashly with this. I mean, I understand I totally get what you want to save money, but how much is that going to cost you in the long run with your facilities? I mean, if you're not doing this work and planning 10 years from now, you could be in a really bad shape. Because you didn't spend an extra $30,000 a year, you know, it's that's the risk you take. So, you know, it's just you got to weigh all those options and look at those different things. That's why the idea was to bring in Eric Hall too, because then we could just say, well, we're talking amongst ourselves and we know what this district's done. But then you have this expert who's worked in a bunch of different other districts and seen other things. They've seen successes, they've seen failures. That was an option to give us an objective thing where I'm not telling them what to say, you're not telling them what to say. They're going to just give you their professional opinion. So we could wait for that too. We could continue to give you information and give you options. I can give, like you requested, the job descriptions for this proposed structure. I'll give you that and an alternative proposed structure next time, and we'll continue to have this conversation. And I can also have them present for board meetings too, so you can ask them questions if you want somebody from Eric Hall & Associates here. I mean, it's if you really want them, I can definitely bring that forward.
Well, I'd just like to see how it would work out if we kind of put this into one of the departments that we already have established.
It wouldn't go into one of its departments. It's just you might have that umbrella structure, like Mr. Yeah. Boom said. It's a separate department, but they all need to be coordinated, I think, is the best way. But I think I could come up with an alternative, and we can have that discussion next meeting, too.
It's worth investigating.
Any more input, gentlemen? This is, once again, a discussion item. Ryan, do you have a feel for our direction now?
Yeah, we'll continue to take steps progressively forward. So last time gave me some more information. I'll bring more information next time, and we'll continue to have these conversations.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Can we move on, gentlemen? Mm-hmm. Okay, to item two, the agreement with Eric Hall & Associates for Facilities Department. And the purpose is to request the board approve agreement with Eric Hall & Associates. Brian?
Again, this contract is to have an interim solution to make sure that we stay on top of all the construction things. We're effectively eliminating, even with the supplemental services, our facilities department at the end of August. With their approval of the facilities technician, hopefully we'll have somebody in place by September there. They would work with this firm in the interim until we bring in that permanent structure, and they'll also provide a recommendation after a couple months getting into everything about what we need to do to have a sustained internal facilities department moving forward without, obviously, our bond construction at this point.
But isn't that what you just gave us? I mean, I think you gave us a pretty good long-term sustainable structure. If we have this, and why do we want to waste? No, excuse me. Why do we want to spend the money to have them come in and evaluate and say, okay, yeah, I think we need to do this, this, and this, and it's exactly what you told us, or very close to what you told us. I would rather have them just come in. If you're going to have them come in and work, I would rather have them come in and work than say, okay, well, we're going to do a complete analysis of everything, and then we're going to spend 40 or 50 hours doing a structural analysis, and this is what we're going to give you, and it cost us $10,000 to get the information that you just gave us.
There's several check marks. Yeah. If you look at the scope of services in Exhibit A, if you just wanted to amend it to eliminate that check mark, we could do that. I mean, again, I provide options to the board. If you want somebody from the outside of the firm, I mean outside of the district, to provide a recommendation, we could do that.
Well, I have a couple questions. One question is, will this eventually turn into the same situation we find ourselves in with the Ryland service, where we're going to be keeping these people on after we hire some people to get them trained?
This contract goes through October 22nd, so we want to have a structure. We don't want to just approve a structure by October 22nd. We want to have a structure in place, and that person brought up to speed by October 22nd, because that's when this contract ends. Obviously, if it's not in place by then and we don't have that person caught up to speed, we might come back, but it's limited to that date.
This Eric Hall and Associations, this is what they do, right?
They're facilities experts.
All right. Why can't we just have them working? They probably can get more done in 2 or 3 days a week than we can have with 3 hired people. I mean, they come with the staff already for this.
Yeah, well, it's a premium cost, but, yeah, I mean, you want, again, it's a balance. It's about, they're not invested, you know, you have the internal people that are invested in our district. They get to know our district. They're here. We think we can get a longer term. This is an interim solution. We think we can get more product out of somebody that was brought internally. And again, the coordination, all those things, all that planning, I mean, this is not a 40-hour a week job. So you have somebody coming in 2 weeks and you have them working a 60-hour a week job. You know, there's a lot that should be done for facilities. Facilities is a, if it's done in the way that I'm envisioning, I have very high expectations for the amount of work that should be carried out as somebody leading that department. There's a lot of stuff getting out of the office, meeting with stakeholders, evaluating things firsthand, is going to provide us with the plans that we can sustain these facilities for many years. We have a lot of older facilities. We have a lot of needs. We have a lot of portables. We have a lot of things that aren't permanent. The need's not going to disappear. We have, obviously, funding things, too. We have, financing on the general fund that's going to come up, not soon, but relatively shortly. It will come quicker than you would think. That's going to, if we want to pay that off, that's going to eat up a lot of our local dollars. I mean, that's the way it was designed. So there's a lot of things we need to try to plan and circumvent and still meet our facility needs. So.
All right, so we've already been a month.
Follow Mr. Harris's with EH&A, just for my input.
How long can we get by doing nothing?
Well, I'll let you know when the letter comes and the liability comes. I don't know, Mr. Thompson, if you maybe comment on that, but not long.
Mr. Ratt?
Especially if there's an OPSC audit, which we've been dealing with. I talked to somebody from OPSC today on a couple issues. We're going to have to address them. Again, I can get to some things, but if I'm only doing facilities, then I can't do the other stuff. But that's, I mean.
I'd like to hear from the board. Mr. Reck, could we go over this way or take your turn?
Okay. I see the point in doing this. Okay, if everything's in place by October 22nd. But I also agree with Mr. Harris. If this is something that we can deal with in a different way with, without having people who are unfamiliar with our campus, I can understand that too. The good thing about it that I like is that if we don't like it, we can terminate the agreement without cause at any time, but it is a lot of money per day, $1,400 per day is a lot.
plus expenses. Yeah, I mean, it does come with a cost. That's why you can only really afford a couple days a week, and we'll have to fill in the holes where we are. So, but that's a very broad scope of services. So if there's anything you want to include
and
or not include.
You're putting your name on this, too. This is what you're recommending.
Yes.
Ms. Flair?
I just have a little bit of concern. I remember when we had Brett Vanner in many years ago.
Uh-huh.
It goes back to then when Vanner came in. I just have mixed emotions on
that. It was very costly, as I recall. I was on a board member. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I've
never heard of this, but I remember Vanner well. And evidently, you know this group, Ryan, you're saying.
I've done work with them on facilities. So they've done, in the past, I've worked with, well, they worked actually, we were program improvement, so they helped us on a fiscal side too. Because this is part of our district assistance and intervention team that I had in my prior district. I work with them on a facilities master plan, a facilities advisory committee process, and a surplus property process. So they have a lot of people. Facilities and finance are really what they're focused on, but facilities specifically. Mr. Hall's been a former president of the Coalition of Adequate School Housing. He leads the mentor group. So he, not only is he very knowledgeable, and when I took my CBO mentor class, he did the whole day on facilities. He was the one who instructed on facilities for all the CBO training. He also knows a lot of people in the industry, so I think he can help us in the relationships and getting somebody here.
So what you're saying is you think this will get our facilities back on the right track?
It's really about reassessing, okay, what have we done, where are we, where do we need to go? Somebody needs to reassess that and fill in until we find that final solution. Whether we come up with a recommendation or they provide a recommendation and we carry forward their recommendation, you know, we really need to take a good look at where we are and where we want to go before we move forward blindly. So it's good to have somebody that can really dig into the details quickly and provide that recommendation.
And
this is not a permanent solution. It's a transitionary.
How many people would he bring in with his group?
It's just him and another, and then he has substitutes. It's basically a couple people, and then they have people that can fill in case they have other obligations. But they're all well-versed in.
So then we would still need people to work on the warranties and what we do now and the closeouts.
They'll work on that.
The two that are there.
Yeah, they'll work on that in the interim.
Okay.
But again, it's a transitionary solution.
Okay.
But it will help us determine where to transition the
Mr.
best.
Miller. What direction we're going to go in.
I have a couple of questions in regard to the professional service agreement. On page 164, it states all correspondence and dialogue between the parties, as well as documentation prepared by either party in conjunction with services performed under this agreement, shall remain confidential. There's some areas that we have to bring out in the public.
Well, they will on those areas. It's just confidential in terms of any of their kind of trade secrets. That's it.
But that's that confidentiality statement. You know, it's kind of covers everything. We can't talk about anything. And then non-solicitation on page 166. That kind of bothers me. We can't. What is it?
We just can't hire their employees. That's all it's saying. It's saying you can't bring in, like, they have consultants, they have somebody work for them. We can't say, well, we want to hire them because we're basically, like, taking them from under them. That's all it's saying.
But this is a one-year period after they have finished what they're to do. To me, it says we can't bring in anybody to do the work they were supposed to, or they were.
No, they just don't want us to hire one of their employees for a year after their agreement ends here. So say they bring in one of. So Mr. Hall is going to be working on personally in our county. He's bringing in one of his people to work. So say that person works here, and 6 months after they end their work here, we want to hire that person. We can't, according to this agreement. We have to wait a year. So it's just they just don't want us to hire their employees.
Okay. Then the governing law venue at the bottom of that page. If there's a disagreement, we have to go all the way to we have to hire somebody to go to San Diego County. And I know that's very unlikely, but You never know.
Yeah, I've looked at those things, and I usually try to get something close, whether it be Yuba County, Sacramento County at the furthest, because our attorneys are in Sacramento County. But the length of this agreement, it's not a concern really for the short temporary nature of this. I don't anticipate that being an issue. There could be an issue, though. The risk is, but if you want to amend it, I could talk to him about amending it to have somewhere in between.
Well, like I say, you don't know what's going to happen. And here again, that's putting the onus on us, so to speak. We have to hire an attorney, send them down to San Diego every day that there's court, on top of his regular expenses. Now we got travel expenses, per diem expenses, the whole nine yards.
As long as we pay them for their services, we can terminate this agreement at any time, so I just don't think the risk is going to be a lot here. So it's a matter, a lot of agreements I put our local county and our standard agreements have that, but.
I think I would feel good if our attorney took a look at that and gave us an opinion when he gets an opportunity. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Moon. Mr. Boone?
Well, I understand the need for it. I mean, we've got to transition over and get the new facilities department going. But I would like to see done sooner rather than later is to bring something forward. If the board has to give Ryan enough, direction so that he knows what to bring back to us. But I would like us to move forward sooner rather than later so we can get these. I mean, we're talking $60,000 in 3 months coming out of the general fund. I mean, that's money that can be going to school sites. He can't fly these positions and start looking at people to hire, I don't believe, until we give him enough direction that we know what this is going to look like.
Yeah, so we'll bring more information to the board on the 12th. If the board gives us a definitive direction on the organizational structure at that time, then when it comes 2 weeks later, what is it, 26, I believe, and approve that, then we'd have to fly it. I mean, you're still looking at getting somebody in October, so I would say moving on the structure expediently as possible would help.
Then we're going to have input back from you, and we're going to have to give you input at the next meeting so we can get this figured out. We're not going to have time to wait for these people to tell us what our facilities department should look like. I mean, in my opinion, it's going to cost us well over $100,000 if we do that, because we're looking at $60,000 for 3 months. By that time, then they're still going to have to stay on board while we go through the hiring process and then a training process, and then you're looking another couple of months before these people are on the ground and running. I mean, you're pushing $100,000 by then, and that's all general fund money.
If you want to make sure this contract ends on the October 22nd and we don't extend it, I mean, it is highly advisable to move forward with the organizational structure as soon as possible.
I mean, that's my opinion, so that we're not paying some. I mean, I'm sure they're going to come in and do great work for us, but they're from Southern California. They're not local people, and we're paying them an enormous amount of money.
Eric Hall is from Southern, but the other person working on accounts from North, he's from the Bay Area, so he's more Northern. It's a split between the two.
So that's my concern with, you know, getting this going, getting it off the ground, getting it moving so that we're not spending $100,000 out of the general fund for consultants. So.
Well, if that's all from the board, this is a motion item, an action item. Is anyone prepared to present a motion to the board? And if so, could you please state it as you'd like to have it read?
Well, being that this contract can be terminated at any time, I'm going to make a motion that we just follow staff's recommendation. That way we can use this firm until we get this thing off the ground, and as a board needs to give Mr. DiGiulio enough feedback so that we can get this moving swiftly so that he can terminate this contract in a timely manner. So I'll make the motion that, being we don't know what that timeline is going to be, that we follow staff's recommendation.
Good.
Okay, then we have a motion by Mr. Boone to follow staff's recommendation until the board gives feedback. Is that Pretty fair. Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
A second for Mr. Fleury.
Yes, I would like to have a stipulation on that, on that motion, if possible, that the attorney take a look at it at his as soon as possible and get his recommendation also.
Now that's
on the agreement.
The floor is on the motion.
Right.
Separate.
No, that's what we're discussing now is the agreement to hire.
If the attorney finds a flaw, then we can terminate it right then.
There's a motion on the floor, so.
Discussion.
Do you want discussion, or do you want to prepare to amend that, Mr. Boom? Your motion now stands as follows: staff's recommendation until the board gives.
It can be terminated at any time. So, and Mr. Thompson said he would already look at it. If he comes back with a finding that the board doesn't like, then the agreement could be terminated at that time, correct?
We can always amend the contract, too, if you want to bring it back before the board and there's any provision that we want to change.
Just as a suggestion, so that you're not in a situation where, if you do want me to look at it, more than happy to, but so you haven't approved a contract final before I've had a chance to weigh in on it, if that is something you'd like me to do, what's typical is for boards to approve it to subject to final approval by staff and legal counsel. That would be another way to go.
That's fine.
Would you, that included in the motion then? Okay, we have a motion by Mr. Boom. Do I have a second, Mr. Fleury? All in favor, please state by saying aye.
Aye.
Nay or no? Say no, please.
No, I'm yes.
Mr. Harris was no.
I said yes.
And yes.
Okay, seven that's yes. Seven yes. Thank you. Thank you, Ryan. We have a presentation of information related to the 2014-15 state budget. The purpose of this agenda item is to review information related to the recently approved state budget.
I'm going to have to look down a little bit. It's hard to read on that one. Sorry. So in the spirit of me speaking to you tonight, I'll continue that with this presentation. And I know it seems like such a long time before I was presenting to the board about the budget a whole month ago that we actually have some updates already, and this is based on the state budget adoption. So obviously everything trickles downhill to us. How the state, what the state does financially affects school districts. And so the purpose of this is to provide some information and updates on what we discussed just a month ago. So overall, good news. We're having economic recovery. It's slow. It's not rapid, but there is economic recovery. There just are some big things we need to keep and focus on. There's no statutory or constitutional guarantee on funding levels or increases every year. So we're still kind of going the year to year, and that's why when I present the multi-year projections, I said, well, here's for informational purposes, but again, it's very hard to predict what's going to happen past the current year until the January proposal for the next year. CalSTRS contributions are going to be going up a lot. I'll go into that, and it's really going to affect our, as the employer, the district's contributions, as well as even our employees, but for our budget as a district, it's going to have a big impact. Also, CalPERS rates are going up, too. So our statutory benefits are going to cost the district more and more each year. So we don't know what our revenues are going to be every year. There's economic recovery, so we're going to be getting more and more. But there's also rising expenditures. So that was kind of the overall theme of the state budget. Another thing that was big, and kind of before I get into the revenue and expenditure aspect of it, is the reserves. And we sent an article to the board, but the governor is starting a rainy, what he calls a rainy day fund, and he wants to put money basically in that rainy day fund so if we have an economic downturn that the state will be able to gradually but slowly adjust funding levels instead of having that big drop off. And this is Proposition 44, but there's still some unclarity over it. There's not a specific exactly when it'll go into effect. However, his idea is basically, you can go through the minutia there, is to basically use capital gains revenue in excess of 8% and start funding that and have that available for the total general fund of the district, I mean of the state. And then that also, under that, he wants his public school system stabilization account to begin in 15-16, where some of the money under Proposition 44 and Prop 98 would have a reserve. So again, impacting school districts specifically, of that money going into that reserve, there's a portion under Prop 98 that would be reserved for schools, so the funding levels wouldn't take those rapid declines when there's an economic downturn. It's basically a soft landing for the state and for school districts. So, you know, the old transfers would only be made when the minimum funding guarantee under Prop 98 is insufficient to really cover the growth and the inflationary adjustments each year. So basically, what the student population or ADA is for the state or for the districts combined, and then also COLA, or the cost of living adjustment. So that will depend on what the Prop 98 guarantee is for that year, what the state revenues are, and how far they fall short. So really, what we really want to know too is how is this going to affect us? Well, part of this is kind of in the last second, Governor Brown worked with the bargaining unit, specifically the California Teacher Association, to kind of develop a compromise on reserves for districts. And we have regulations on what our required reserve is, and it's 3%, but we tend to carry excess reserves ourselves. We don't carry what I would consider, well, we're not above the state average in terms of reserves, but there are some districts that are very high in the reserve. They can cover up to 50, 60, I've seen 70% of their expenditures in reserve. What this is going to require is us to report what our minimum reserve level and what we have in excess of the minimum. And, you know, problem is when you have a reserve, once it becomes a reserve, if your budget is balanced and then you have money in the reserve, that's one-time money. So you can, you know, use it for infrastructure, maintenance, repair, technology, contributions to other funds like OPEB, which doesn't happen a lot because those other pension benefits, post-employment benefits tend to just kind of go funded as they go. But there's going to be a reserve limit, and we got to see exactly how we designate funds is going to affect how much reserves we can keep. So there will be some exceptions to the county office, but it has to be extraordinary circumstances. I don't think we'll have that as long as we have a balanced budget. But it looks like, you know, we could have that cap, you know, as low as 10%. It's just going to depend. And all that's going to do is that's going to not allow us time. If we have an economic downturn, then we're going to have to make cuts a little quicker. And if we do use those reserves, we're going to have to use those for one-time things, because if you commit money to such things as ongoing programs or employee compensation, that commitment doesn't go away. You have to keep paying that commitment. Well, you're using one-time money to fund ongoing things. So we just have to avoid that. Proposition 44 is going to go to the ballot in November. If it passes by a majority, it goes into effect immediately. So we'll continue to give you more detail on those reserves. It's not something that we want to go into the minutia now. I just kind of want to give you the general purpose of what it's going to be about and how it can impact us. Basically, you're going to require us to report or to designate that money and have that money for, again, one-time purposes. So we'll continue to keep you abreast of that. Any questions on that part? I know it's a little quick overview, but again, it's just to kind of broach the subject, and we'll get into more details as it becomes an issue. Another thing on the revenue side, so the Proposition 30 taxes are temporary. So that was, as you all know, approved in November 2012. At the time, we're still going through cuts, and that's helped a lot. Revenues gained over $7 million in 13-14 as a state, $7 billion. Over $7 billion we expect this year. But again, not going to be there forever. That 0.25% sales tax expires in 2016 or 2016-17 fiscal year, during that fiscal year. And a personal income tax expires in 2018. Just want to make people cognizant. They think, you know, we're having these increased revenue, but we have to be mindful. It's not going to continue forever. So hopefully the economy recovers in other sources of revenue, or those revenue sources are increased. But we're riding a high, and a lot of it is because of the Proposition 30 taxes. You can see how much that means in terms of revenue, how much comes from sales tax and how much comes from income tax. It goes down. Look, by 18-19, it goes down because mid-year you're cutting off the income tax, 0 in 19-20. So that's a lot of money you spread out to schools. You know, Proposition 98, if you have so much going to schools, which is a majority of the general fund, and you're losing that revenue, then that's obviously going to impact the state. So we have to be mindful of that. Not going to impact us in the short term, but long term we have to be mindful of that. Also, when the governor is talking about the revenue that he proposes for the school district, it's based on what a Prop 98 guarantee is. He uses a low forecast. He uses the Department of Finance forecast. And the Legislative Analyst Office typically has a higher. So in 14-15, the Legislative Analyst Office predicts there will be $2.2 billion higher for the year in state revenue. And how that basically impacts us is if there's more money and there actually ends up more money, we may end up getting more money. So bear in mind, what we're having for 14-15, what we're predicting is conservative, but that's by the governor's plan. So if LAO's prediction is correct, that's $880 million. We'll go to schools under Prop 98. We'll see a portion of that. So just letting you know, things have already changed since what we presented in June. They may change again, and a lot of that is because the governor's prediction. So hopefully it's positive that the revenues come in above what the governor's predicted or the Department of Finance has predicted or projected, and we'll get a little bit more revenue. But until then, we're only putting what the governor, because the legislation agreed with the governor and went with his prediction on what the revenue will be. So what's changed since June? Well, there's already $250 million more schools above the May revision, bringing the total funding for schools of $4.75 billion. So we're getting a little more money, and I'll go into the specifics on that. There's been some more mandate reimbursements, which is good, a little bit more into the Career Technical Education Pathways Program, so it's one-time funds for grants, basically. A little bit more for funding into child care. We'll see how that affects us as the details come out. But the big thing is there's a little bit more money in LCFF. And the level of the guarantee is the same in the May revision. It's just they've bought back, they're reducing the deferrals. And what's happening is the governor wanted to, you know, we had all those deferrals where we were getting so much money paid in the next fiscal year or delayed within months of the fear of that current year. So it was either an intra year, so they may move a payment from September to January, or it was inter year, so you may move a payment from March of 2014 would move into this fiscal year, say November of 2015. There was a lot of that. Governor wanted to get rid of all those deferrals. Wanted you to get paid exactly to the apportionment schedule. And so you get a certain percentage every month. Now the legislator said, well, we're not going to do all of them away, but it's only one. It's like a 3% deferral that's getting pushed until a month later. So he paid back basically all deferrals except for 1 month. And so they're not doing that yet. However, if we say that Legislative Analyst Office, their money is, their prediction is right and there's more money that comes in, they may use it to pay off the rest of the deferrals. I don't know. But there's still a minor deferral left. It's not a huge impact to us, but there is a minor deferral. So what did that additional funding for LCFF really mean to us? And that's what the really meat of what we're bringing today is on the revenue side is gap closure went up from 28.05% of closing the remaining gap to full implementation of LCFF went to 29.56. So basically we got an increase of on average in the state of 11.6% being more higher on the targeted population. Ours was higher than 12% increase for the current year. So gap closure was 29%, wasn't a 29% increase, but it did increase more than 12% for us, and you'll see what the impact is. Some districts got as low as zero. It depends on where their targeted subpopulation is at. So all that background is kind of just to go into how that impact of the state budget impacts us. Our total revenue at the adopted budget is was 69,631. Well, under the new provision state, we revised that number up to 69,830. Total net change is 198,710. So we have $200,000 basically in additional revenues based on the state adoption. And then you can kind of see where that money's coming from. So in 13-14, you have your base plus your $2.4 million. That's for targeted. That's what used to be EIA. The additional money above the EIA is $8.6 million. And our total gap is $20.6 million. This isn't drawn to scale. It's just a chart to kind of show you where we're going, where we were, where we are, and where we're going. gaining 8.6 million above the what we use for EIA traditionally, total gap is going to be 20.6 million for our district in funding. So we've made a lot of that progress already up, as you can see. And then you can see, too, of that 8.6 million gain, 5.4 million of that is for the supplemental concentration grants, 3.2 million is for the base. Roughly, that's an approximation. Now, moving more into the proportionality, you should see the breakdown of the 7.8 targeted, 5.4 million again, 3.2 million base. It's just a breakdown more of that. So you can see what's actually coming from the population of those targeted students and then what's just based on our total population or ADA. Any questions on that breakdown? It's just a graphical representation of our additional money and where we're going. So, again, 8.6 million on the path to trying to get 20.6 million. A higher majority of it come from the supplemental and concentration grants or those targeted subgroups. Now, that was the revenue side. The other side that was the big impact that I indicated was CalSTRS increase. So, state's going to increase this CalSTRS contribution by employers from over 4% over the next 3 years. So over 7 years, it goes from 8.25% to 19.1. Obviously, that's more than double the rate. That's going to be a lot of expenditures moving forward. And that's to fully fund the CalSTRS. There's also two rates that are different because, you know, we had the pension reform, so it's a little higher increase for those members that joined prior to 2012 because the pension reform made the obligations or the future obligations a little less on the state. So to kind of give you a little more graphical representation, you can see when we brought to you guys the adopted budget, there was the assumption that that rate would go to 9.5%. Well, next year for CalSTRS contributions, 9.5% times their salary. Now it went down to 8.8% with the state adoption. So we have to backtrack a little bit on our expenditures or what we predict for next year because we're not going to contribute as much, but you can still see it's going to go up to 8.88, 10.73, 12.58, up to 19.10. And it's going to affect our employees. So based on whatever they were pre or post pension reform, they're going to be 8.15 next year, then up to 9.2 for the pre because there's a higher funding obligation there because their pensions cost more under the pre-reform, up to 10.25. So they'll stabilize in the next 3 years, but the employers are going to continue to go up. So it's going to cost our certificated employees more out of their check and significantly more out of the district coffers over the next few years. And you could see, this is a kind of a good graphical representation in the workshop we went to. You could see the percentage, and I really want to focus on the percentage spent of the budget spent on CalSTRS. This is for an average district. So this is statewide. It goes from 3.83% in 13-14 up to 8.87% by 2020-2021. So significantly a larger percentage of our budget, we anticipate over double of what we're spending now, is going to be going to these statutory benefits. It's a reality, and we just need to let people know that as we go moving forward, and even as we get increased funding, there's going to be a lot spent on not just health and welfare, but also these statutory benefits. CalPERS is no different. CalPERS is in a better situation. It's a relatively strongly funded. I mean, schools, the total fund is almost 70% funded. Schools themselves are over 80%. So they've been able to do a little better job managing that. But there's still going to be some additional rates. You just won't see the dramatic increases in the rates that the employers and employees pay that you do with CalSTRS. So something that we're seeing in the theme of this budget has been a lot that expenditures are going to increase on the benefit side. And this is another form of kind of seeing all the changes really quickly in one slide. So again, the gap funding increased from 2805 to 29.56%, so 1.5% difference. That increased the total revenue to 402,994. The reason it's only 198 difference is they gave us our final percentage of unduplicated pupils. Well, the estimate that we had received from March was 83.2. Well, the final actual numbers came in at 82.4%, which is nothing other than them just giving us that final certification number. So that counteracted that $403,000 by $203. So the net is a gain in revenue of about $198. And then we decreased our expenditure estimate for next year for 14-15 from 9.5 to 8.88, which I alluded to. That reduced our expenditures by 2009. So our total net change is a positive to the surplus of about $400,000. So if we kind of look at our total new assumptions, I highlighted the things that changed a little bit. We're looking at 15-16 and 16-17 as just a, we have to do the multi-year projections still under the law, and we want to look at them, but again, those are going to be highly subject to change. You've seen what's changed just for 14-15 in a month, but those numbers can change significantly. You can see, though, the gap funding changed this year, and that's the big one we have to do. And then I highlighted the STIRS and the PERS rates. The PERS rate went from about 11.4 up to 11.7. And then you can see in the out years there's some changes in the gap funding. Those gap funding percentages, too, the 7.9% and the 8.2% are the conservative estimates we get from school services. Could be a lot different. Don't know. Again, there's no guaranteed appropriation in the out year, so it's very hard to predict 15 and 16 and 16 and 17, but we have to at least prepare something to propose. But 14-15, we made the changes of the things we do know. So looking forward, the average in the yellow, you can see the increase or decrease from our beginning balance to our ending balance. Well, we had $2.4 million approximately there when we presented the budget in June. Now it's $2.8. Obviously, there's more money there in the surplus. In the out years, it's going to depend on how much revenue increases we have, because for everything that we have in the LCAP, and some of those items are to be determined as we add expenses there and we get closer to balancing our budget for next year, which we anticipate to do during the course of this year, those are going to have impact on the future as you add certain things. There's an inflationary cost. There's step and column if it's salary-based. So those are things we're going to continue to have to monitor, and we're obviously going to need revenue to match those increasing expenditures over the year. But at least in the current year, it increases our surplus slightly. So long-term, if you look at where we're going, again, that's an upward line. Not, again, the goal financially to recommend that that line continues to upward trend, especially when we talk about the reserves cap and what the governor's working on, more to flatten the line, more to really focus on balancing the budget, not build reserves. If we have additional reserves above and what we're legally required, we'll focus that on one-time nature goods, and that's what the recommendation will be for management. And we're fine. We're above our REU. How much reserves we have will depend on how many one-time projects we can do, or if we do have a significant cut, how slow we can make to making cuts. For example, if you have no reserve and you're, or a 3% reserve, and all of a sudden you have a $4 million deficit, you're going to have to make $4 million in 1 year. Say you had an extra couple million dollars, you may be able to make only $2 million over 2 years, so it would soften the blow a little bit. And that's how reserves are used on a temporary basis, or you can use them on the one-time projects. But we'll see where that goes exactly with the state. So the reason I brought this to the board is we need to make those adjustments, give you a flavor and an update of what the state's doing, but really it's an impact of $400,000 for us. We're going to make those adjustments by that Monday, August 4th. Revenue adjustment, again, was that LCFF got a little better on the gap closure, meant more money for us. It was taken down a little bit by our unduplicated count, and then we made expenditure adjustments for CalSTRS. So we lowered CalSTRS for the current year because we had a higher rate, raised CalPERS a little bit, and we'll have more information in September once we close all the books. We have the unaudited actuals. So again, we said we're going to project to end the year at $10.1 million from 13-14, start this year at $10.1 million. We'll see where that actually ends up. Again, what you budget is not necessarily what you spend. You budget for everything. You don't spend every budget line, so we anticipate that that number will be a little higher. But we'll bring you that unaudited actuals versus our estimated actuals, kind of show you where we're at and what adjustments are going to be made. The point of all this is it's a very fluid process, so within a month and a half, we'll give you more information, but we'll stay on top of it. So with that, I know I went through things kind of quickly, but any questions or comments or
questions from any of the board members? Thank you very much, Ryan.
Thank you.
Just some excellent work. If there's not any questions, I would like to close the meeting in the memory of a longtime member of the Marysville Joint Unified Community, Sarah Buckley. This meeting is adjourned.